Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 135 of the Nerd Cantina Show. I'm your host, Ken, and joined by my co-host, Steve, and we're going to recap some nerd news. We've got some recent box office numbers. We're going to go over the key takeaways from the Golden Globes and discuss the Cyberpunk patch that's been delayed. Then we're going to move over into tech news and talk over an update with the SolarWinds hack, these incredibly realistic deepfakes with Tom Cruise, and the Facebook-Apple privacy battle. A lot to get to. Let's get started.
Calling back all nerds.
Nerds!
All right, and welcome to episode 135. And, you know, this week might have felt like an entertainment return to normal for you. We got some new TV shows, and we've got a new movie to see, or at least, maybe not a movie a lot of people saw, but one that you saw in a theater, nonetheless.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about some entertainment here.
We'll start off with TV. Let's go over the Superman and Lois premiere. That the pilot aired last week. I think another episode aired because they released a pilot on their like not regularly scheduled air program. It's on the CW. You can watch it free on the CW app if you don't have the CW on your live TV, like I don't have. So I have to watch it on the CW app or after it premieres. But I really actually enjoyed this. Without giving anything away that you don't get in the first 25 minutes of the show, it takes place about 15 years, 20 years after Lois and Clark get together. They have teenage sons starting high school. They give a quick run through of the Superman origin that you've known for your entire life. No need to spend entire episodes showing him land on the Kent farm and that whole goddamn mess. Like, so I really appreciate that. And even in the like montage to catch you up, they paid homage to a lot of the earlier days of Superman. Some costume changes throughout the montage. You know, he was wearing the original Superman costume and the one holding the big green car up. Like, there's some really cool like Easter eggs in it. But then you get to the main story, and it's a really good kind of, older, more adult, time-tested Superman story. He has a family, so you get that kind of aspect, which really isn't told in many Superman stories. You know, he's struggling to be a hero, a good father. Lois is struggling to be a career woman and a good mother. There's things going on with the farm, things going on in Metropolis. It's a really interesting new way to tell Superman stories. It's shot really well. Acting's really good in it. All in all, I'm kind of looking forward to seeing where the show goes. Now, granted, it was just a pilot. It was a 2-hour pilot, so it was almost like two episodes long. They can still fuck it up. Let's not lie. They could still really butcher this going forward. But they took a promising first step, and I'm kind of excited to keep up with it and see where it goes.
Yeah, I might watch it just based off of kind of your positive thoughts on it. And you don't give DC many chances.
So. Oh, they don't give freebies. That's for sure. They don't give freebies.
The fact that you're saying that it actually has some merit. And it's a DC production. I might give it a try. I have so many questions about the reproduction of Superman's children with Lois. It just doesn't make sense to me.
No, it doesn't. I'm gonna let that slide. We'll just let that slide.
Let's just pretend that the alien
Kryptonian condom busted. The Kryptonian condom busted. They were a little slow going in. we can figure that out. We'll put a post up in the Cantina group and let all the members figure out how that all went down. But either way, yeah, the he's got two teenage sons.
And why is Lois keeping a job? You tell me you can't just focus on these weird ass kids?
Nah, man, Superman don't pay the bills that much. Clark's a shitty reporter, let's put it like that. always a step behind the biggest story in Metropolis. So he's a really shitty reporter. I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, it looks interesting. question, is this in any way part of like the CW Arrowverse world nonsense?
I don't think so. I think this is separate universe. So
if you're saying if it's further ahead, like, you know, there's still like a Superman that exists in like the Supergirl show and stuff. So like this is way beyond into his.
Well, yeah, because technically that Superman is just kind of like dating Lois, right? Or they're engaged, you know, so like they have like 13, 14 year old sons now. So it's got to be, you know, a decade past any rendition of any TV show. I don't think they're going to tie it any of it in. I think this is going to be a standalone kind of Superman show. Yeah, I ask because
that matters to me. Because after Legends of Tomorrow and giving Black Lightning a try, I cannot mess with the Arrowverse ever again. Like if it is tied into that Arrowverse, I am out.
Yeah, they had to recast Batgirl after one season.
Yeah, if it's a standalone, I'll give it a try. If I for some reason have to endure another like 8 series crossover event to see an episode of Superman and Lois, I'm out.
You know, I'm hoping maybe they just say this is a continuation of Smallville 10 years after. That would be, I'd accept that. You know, Lana Lang's in the show. Like, they could just say, like, this is a sequel to Smallville. Like, I would accept that. I'd have to look closer to see if it ties in well at all, but. Yeah, if they say that this is the same universe as anything else, I'd be like, ah, like now you're just giving me a bigger sheet to poke holes in, and like, you know, like let's just say this is a different whole separate universe, and build off this if you want to.
Yeah, and then you know, on other things coming out of the small screen, we got the WandaVision finale this week.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. We'll do a good wrap-up section next week if we don't get a bunch of entertainment articles posted this
Falcon
week.
Falcon and Winter Soldier 2 weeks from now. So we got some interesting nerd TV happening.
Yeah, Marvel's going to come on with it. You know, do you see the news that it's confirmed that Hayden Christensen will have scenes in Obi-Wan with his Vader helmet off? So he's going to be like...
Oh, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's going to be in... He's going to be in the costume, taking off the helmet every once in a while, like...
Scorched face and all.
Yeah, I'm hoping. I'm hoping they do it with big yellow eyes. Like, I'm hoping, man.
All right, and then from the small screen to the big screen, and you got to actually see something on the big screen, the blockbuster movie that is Tom and Jerry.
Hey, so it released on HBO Max the same day, right? Yep. So you could have stayed home and watched it. I can't do it.
Is your A-list going?
I fired it back up. Yep.
Ooh, Tom and Jerry.
For Tom and Jerry, I fired it back up. Well, it was basically the first worthy movie that came out since the theaters opened here. So I figured, you know, I'll take my 6-year-old to go see it. Like, we did a 6:30 Dolby Atmos theater showing. I was surprised as to how many people were in the theater. I really was. Like, I thought for sure just be a handful. You know, when I went and saw Tenet, when the movie theaters opened for that little bit, there was barely anybody in there, you know. But I think a lot of parents saw an opportunity to get the kids out of the house. You know, everybody's on partial e-learning and stuff still. It's butt ass fucking cold out here. Like, it's, you know, we're just starting to get some warmer weather. I think everybody was just really like excited to get their kids out of the house. They had the you know, COVID style theater, you know, the seats, you know, no seats sold in between people, no seats sold in front. You had to pre-order your popcorn and stuff, so it was kind of like waiting for you when you got there. So I pulled up and my popcorn and her candy and everything is just kind of there, scanned it. I went to go fill up my drink at the Coke machine, right? This blew my goddamn mind. So I pushed the button, I pushed the cup in to the lever to get the ice, right? And then it's got the screen, and you gotta touch the screen to pick what pop you want and pour it and everything, right? I look at the screen and it's just got a QR code, and it was like, please do not touch screen, scan QR code. So you scan the QR code and it puts the pour button on your phone.
Yeah.
So now I'm pouring the pop from my phone. And you know, there's that little bit of lag. You know what I mean? So I'm trying to fill it up to the brim You know, I want all my money's worth of the fucking pop, and you let go of the button and it still goes for like a couple seconds. But like, I just could not believe that like they're able to innovate that kind of like technology, like how fast. You know what I mean? It took forever to change these pop machines, and then like in a season they're just like, oh, we gotta go touchless, figure it out, eggheads. And they're like, oh, let's make it work from their phone, scan a QR code. And it's like, holy shit. Like, we need some other, you know, not so catastrophic events to speed up some of our technology this way.
Yeah. And then at the same time, it makes me just realize what a terrible world this is for, like, our grandmother who still can't use a cell phone. And nowadays, like, she literally can't get a soda if she wants to. That ship has sailed, lady. Go to the water fountain.
Yeah, you're going to be thirsty. Bottled water. You order way, bottled water.
The water fountain is also touchless now, so fuck yourself. So, yeah, that's interesting. Tom and Jerry did well in the box office numbers, as far as better than expected. It did $13.7 million this weekend.
Isn't that like what Tenet did?
It did more than Tenet. So this is like, you know, Christopher Nolan sitting back like, fucking mouse. Damn cat and mouse gets to take it a greater box office share than I did. But yeah, $13.7 million domestically. I think it was like $38 million internationally.
A lot of that has to do with that AMC's finally opened up in New York. Like, you have major markets that are finally opening up theaters that they weren't opening them up before during that little break we had. You know, it's good for theaters. Like, I'm not going to be movie specific. I think you could have put up any family kind of movie up and it would have done somewhat good. The fact that Tom and Jerry speaks to like our generation to take our kids to, like, you could tell they really were hooking Gen X in, yeah, in with the soundtrack. It was like all old hip hop and old the soundtrack was just really old hip hop songs and stuff. So they really were speaking to you know, parents my age that they knew were going to be bringing their kids in to see the cartoons they grew up on. And it was pretty decent, you know, like it had a decent story. It was silly, and I love like kids kind of like silly movies where like all the adults and the entire storyline just ignored how silly it is, and it just goes by like normal. Like, it's just normal to have a cat bellhop in this universe. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, it's just a normal thing. Like you see it all the time. Oh, like, look, oh, there's a mouse door on a piece of base in, you know, in the hotel. Like, oh, that mouse just lives there. Like, I love the fact that the silliness was just part of normal life, and nobody's surprised, and you can as an adult and a kid, you just kind of like let your imagination accept all these things and just go for the ride in the movie. I thought that was pretty fun.
Yeah, well, I told my kids they can watch it here soon when I reactivate HBO Max for Snyder Cut.
Well, it comes out this month. Just do it now.
No, the kids don't get the reactivation. I get the reactivation. It happens on my terms, and that's Snyder Cut. So here soon, a couple weeks, I'll turn that on. And
in order to get my cheap brother to play more video games with me, I literally just bought him a 3-month subscription to the Game Pass in Xbox Live Ultimate, knowing that he wouldn't waste the money. Like, knowing that even though he didn't spend the money, he would feel it as a waste of money to not play more video games while he had this.
I'm well played. It probably it'll definitely get me on there probably 10 times more than I would have. That still might only equal 10 days. But
you got to at least play the Jedi game for me.
I downloaded that. I haven't played it yet, but I did download it.
Yeah, it's definitely worth putting a Zelda on the back burner for a little bit while you have the opportunity to play it.
All right, well, I don't know. Let's move on here. We've got the Golden Globes happened this weekend. As normal, I tend to not watch any of the award shows, and maybe I'll just watch some clips of the funny parts, but I normally stay away from the the awards, actual, you know, announcements and speeches. I was kind of curious. You watched a portion of it, right?
Yeah, I probably watched the first hour, and I just couldn't do it anymore. Like, American Gods was new this week. Like, I was like, I got better shit to be watching right now. Like, it was so, because everything's, you know, fucking COVID. So every goddamn celebrity is on a Zoom call, and like, they still try to, like, I get it. I understand. Okay. They want to hold up the traditions of these award ceremonies. High fashion's a big part of these award ceremonies. Bitch, you in your kitchen. You're in your kitchen in an evening gown. Like, don't play with me. I know, like let's keep it real here, folks. Like, and it's not like all these celebrities don't have enough money to, like, maybe rent a nice place to have, like, a Golden Globes party with your family and your quarantine people, or
throw up a backdrop.
Yeah, or like just humor me. You know what I mean? Like, if you're gonna dress that nice, put a backdrop to match it. Like you're literally sitting on your couch with a ring light in front of you in, like, a $7,000 Givenchy dress and shit. Like, no, you're at your crib. Like, you're like, so, like, to me, it just seems silly. It was just so, like, absurdly silly. You know, the actor for that won the first supporting actor role, they went to cut to his award speech and no sound. You know, no sound on the Zoom call. Yes. So he's just talking. So then they hurry up and cut away, and, like, nobody's prepared for it. And then they act like they're going to go to the next award, and they finally got his sound, and they cut back to him, and he doesn't realize it's back on him yet. And he's like, because he's got that thick British accent, he's like, "The dude, me daddy, the dude, me daddy." he's like, "They're not going to let me fucking speak," you know. And then they finally, like, let him speak, and, you know, it was the actor for Judas and the Black Messiah. So I was like, oh, here we go, man. Like, you better let that motherfucker give his award speech, or we're gonna have some headlines tomorrow. Like, shit's gonna hit the fan. And then just, yeah, everybody took it as their opportunity to promote whatever charity or social cause. And it was hard to get into. It wasn't like anything that we're used to. And I just, nope. American Gods and Peaky Blinders beat it for me.
Yeah. Well, I think, there's still a few interesting and notable awards given out here, as far as winners. So we can, I guess, talk about just some of them. Like, the fact, I don't know what Mank is.
Nope.
And I feel like I should, because every category has a nominee for Mank. I didn't know. I thought maybe you would have seen it. You see everything generally.
Nope.
Not even you, huh?
Nope. Never even heard of it.
Never seen.
And I'm pretty good about all this shit. Like even the ones that are on there that I haven't watched, I'm like, okay, I should watch that. Like, I feel bad, like, I haven't watched it yet. Never even heard of that. Yeah.
Mank is on Netflix, and I have never heard of it. But it was nominated for just about everything, including Best Motion Picture, all the best actress and actor, or actor categories. So, yeah, interesting.
Well, I mean, if you just look at the nominees and the winners, like, there were so many movies and TV shows fucked up by COVID and delayed and everything like that. And it's like, if you win this one, Are you
asterisk?
Yeah, like, are you really heavy? Like, is this not the 62 game baseball season version of awards? Like, are you really proud of that one? You know, like, I mean, the Borat movie won multiple awards. Like,
best actor in a motion picture, musical, or comedy.
Sacha there Baron wasn't Cohen. Anything funnier or better than the Borat movie. Like, I watched that. It was decent.
He plays in character and does improv the whole time. It's like, no, I get that. That is some great, I guess, acting. But really? Like, yeah. That, okay. But then you look at the list, and it's like James Corden on The Prom is there with him. Yeah. It's like, his best. It's like,
no.
I guess, you know, this is how he moves up from Cats into The Prom on Netflix. But
yeah, and they already gave Hamilton their fair share of awards, so they didn't want to just shower them with even more.
Actually, Hamilton didn't win very much, but they got all the Tonys for years
that's
and years.
That's what I'm saying. Like, what it is, like you, they're like, you guys got enough gold pieces. Like, we're gonna spread the love around here. Also, like, I don't know if it's because of like Sacha Baron Cohen's kind of political leanings when it comes to making these movies and how the awards people vote, you know, when it comes to those things. So it just, yeah, I don't know, man. There's plenty to go around. I was surprised that a lot of, you know, like Nomad won, for best director. I was actually pretty surprised that took it. I haven't watched Nomadland yet. Looks interesting. Looks like it's going to be a long movie that I'm going to really have to like grit and bear, you know, but the fact that it beat out the Trial of the Chicago 7 One Night in Miami, like I really thought Regina King might be a favorite for that category. Aaron Sorkin's a genius and I would never argue with him winning it either. Yeah. Mank was on there. David Fincher. Yeah. I didn't know David Fincher made Mank. We're going to have to Google that. Like I should probably did some research before this morning.
Yeah, and you get, you know, Chadwick Boseman, he gets the best actor in a motion picture. So, yeah, that's...
He was a great actor.
Somber, but a good...
Like, he was a great actor. Yeah, The Queen's Gambit is a big one. Like, that I thought I loved that series. I thought it was really well done. The competition it had going up against it, I didn't think anything was better. I thought that was the one that deserved it. The actress that played in it, she won for limited series. She was really good in it. And she was in that New Mutants movie. So I feel bad, you know, like a lot of people, I didn't think anybody would give her credit because I thought, you know, with her previous work, a lot of people would just kind of like overlook her, but she was great in that movie. She, with all the costumes and the set designs and the way she portrayed the character, she really deserved that.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, not very much much more for me. You know, The Crown won a lot, which I think was pretty well expected. The Crown and Ozark were kind of the two leaders in most of that like drama category. Somehow The Mandalorian snuck into like the nominations for the best drama, but in the end, the Crown, which I haven't spent any time to watching.
What is the fascination with British royalty in this country? Like The Crown, sure. Bridgerton, Downton Abbey.
Well, Bridgerton was like housewife porn, wasn't it? Like it wasn't it like it's the romance novels put the TV.
It's The Crown with some swank on it, you know. you know, but also the, you know, like there's just a lot of these British royalty shows that are just everybody's loving watching, and like I can't say anything bad about the show because I don't watch it, but I find it hard to believe that it beat out Ozark or has a bigger following than The Mandalorian. Like,
yeah, I can't speak on it because I haven't seen a minute of it. You know,
it's like, do I really need to watch a bunch of that TV just to say that it's not as good as the other ones? Like, do I really have to, or can I just assume?
Just because the stories are ones that I don't care about. It might be phenomenally put together and acted, and that's whatever. I mean, that's generally what everybody's saying. But it's like, yeah, I really just don't care to see portrayals of like real life royalty. I didn't care to like read about what's going on with the people in real time. I definitely don't care to watch it reenacted now.
Didn't we fight a war to not give a shit about these people? Like, I thought that's how that went.
Either way, you know, we've got award season is upon us, and there's more of these coming out here in the coming 6 weeks or so. This is the time frame.
Yeah. So, well, Schitt's Creek did win for TV series. Did you watch Flight Attendant or Ted Lasso yet? Because we've mentioned on the show you were into Flight Attendant and you were going to do Ted Lasso.
Flight Attendant, but Ted Lasso is on Apple TV Plus, and I still have yet to ever contribute a dollar to that subscription. But I do want to watch Ted Lasso, and I know that won. What did it win? Best comedy or no? I think
Schitt's Creek won best comedy TV series, but, which they deserve. That's
Jason
a great
Sudeikis
show.
Won for Ted Lasso for his character.
Yeah, he did, and because he is great in that show. Yeah. He's great in it.
I definitely want to watch that show one of these days. I will just commit to spending the month so I can watch Defending Jacob and Ted Lasso
and the morning show.
That too.
That's on there. It's worthy.
All right. And I guess let's move on. Let's keep it going. We got one video game update, and that's just that this Cyberpunk continues to take it on the chin after their pretty bad release for Cyberpunk 2077. Then they had the ransomware attack that got some of their source code, some of their user data. Tried to hold the ransom. They didn't pay it, and because of that, they're now saying that they have delayed until the end of it was supposed to be February for the next big patch, which was supposed to be a huge patch, hopefully to fix the vast majority of the bugs. And they've now pushed that back to sometime in March because of the cyber attack and the effect it's had on them.
You figure it had to have taken some kind of toll. They kind of shrugged it off like, yeah, we don't care. But, you know, you can't just take a big hit like this and not have it throw some bubble gum in the old Vision Works when it comes to that.
Yeah, so if you're a Cyberpunk fan, you're dealing with some bugginess again until next month. But I'm hoping, honestly, that they can write this. A lot of people spend a lot of money buying into this game, and I'm hoping they fix it for a bunch of nerds.
Yeah, I paid $60 and I created my dude with his wang and played like 5 minutes, and I put it aside after all the, I was like, you know what, I got other games to play, I'll play those, I'll wait till all these patches come out. And you know, the game looks phenomenal, and I've heard the gameplay is great, but yeah, it's just a little buggy, so I'll just pump the brakes again. I'll finish God of War 4, and maybe I'll throw it in then.
All right, and then that was it for our topics for entertainment this week. We've got one thing just to inform the Cantina members about, and that's a little competition we're having over with some friends over at Take a Knee for Marvel vs. DC.
Yeah, so our friends over at Take a Knee asked Ken and I to submit 8 comic book movie. What was the other criteria?
It's comics, a comic book character, a movie character, a TV character, and then anime character. Those are the 4 regions of the March Madness bracket.
Yeah. So they asked us to give 8 people to go head to head in a March Madness style, who's your favorite character type tournament. So we will have a Nerd Cantina bracket over at the Take a Knee March Madness competition. So we are going to ask all our fans to heavily support the Nerd Cantina bracket because I want to win this motherfucker.
Yeah.
For those that don't know, Scott over at Take a Knee, I am his arch nemesis. I am his Doom. I am his Luther. I take any opportunity I can to troll this man and use that to my advantage. So him opening this door to us is just kind of a him being a glutton for punishment, I see. And I picked my 4. I think Ken's got his 4. We're gonna record a release announcement that will air on their show, so we highly suggest that people in the Cantina take a look over at Take a Knee. They got a really good thing going on over there, and support the show and support the Cantina by helping us win this thing
for sure. We'll record those today, but I think we'll let everybody know over in the Nerd Cantina group when those picks are released, when the brackets are out. So if you're not a member of the NerdCantina.com,
yeah, everything,
join us over there.
Let's take it to them.
All right, let's talk some tech and just a few tech topics. Most of these kind of updates to things that we've talked about in the past. But first up is the SolarWinds hack, and this is just entertaining to me. It doesn't really give any new information. That SolarWinds hack is still, you know, the largest hack ever. We're still hearing more and more impacts on it. I think, you know, they confirmed this week that like NASA was affected by it, other agencies that previously weren't in mentions. But the SolarWinds like trials, or not trials, but hearings have been heard. And within the House Oversight Committee that's looking at this, they find that part of the problem was one of their like primary servers had a password of all lowercase, just SolarWinds123. And that was the password on their server. And this is a high level internet company. Security should be a big aspect of what they do, and having SolarWinds123 as their server password, and then they completely throw it under the bus, that and they say that that password only existed because essentially like back in 2017 some intern put that password in there. And they blame it on the intern from 2017 on why they had such terrible security and left a key server vulnerable to where any malware could get put into the server that then got spread out to all of its clients.
This just highlights the weakest link in any of these things is the human chain.
Always
going to be the human chain. You know, like SolarWinds 123. Where's your symbol? Like, you get a yeah. capital letter, a number, and a symbol. Like, where's your symbol, bud? Like, it doesn't even meet the current standard of strong passwords.
Like, my email account will not allow me to make that my password.
No, it won't. It won't.
So it's wild to hear this. It's awesome that they're just throwing the intern under the bus and blaming it on the intern. And like I said, this continues as they dig into this, just to show, one, how poorly managed it was at the company level, and then how widespread this thing got. And I said, I still think there's so much out there that we don't know about as far as what intrusions existed because of the SolarWinds hack.
Yeah, and it's weird that like there's no like mechanism to double check like the strength of passwords in a major kind of like if you have information on a company server that is worth, you know, this kind of value to people, like, how do you not have the like, nope, password not strong enough? I just don't understand how like even the company didn't have like measures in to protect you from dipshits. Just protect, like how do you not protect yourself from your own dipshits?
Right now there's an intern at like Amazon Web Services changing the password from like Amazon sucks 123. Like right now, that is taking place. People trying to hide their server passwords.
Like, yeah, I just don't understand how if you got a valuable company and you're trying to hide information from nefarious people, that you don't have a system that ensures that your intern can't make, you know, SolarWinds 123. Like, oh my god.
All right, and then let's keep going. The other one, it's really not much of an article to talk about. It's just entertaining to watch. We've talked a lot about deepfakes over the years, and this is just another way to show, man, how far and how quickly it is getting to like passable levels. Have you seen this like, impersonator on TikTok and stuff and all, and his
Tom Cruise
videos?
They're phenomenal.
Like,
they're amazing.
Yeah, you can really, like, when you really look at it and you really dive into it, like, you could tell it's not Tom Cruise, but it is passable on a quick watch or whatever else that it's Tom. These are great. The guy does a great voice for Tom Cruise. Like, he's, as an impersonator, he's nailed kind of like the tone and pace in which Tom Cruise talks, and the deepfake is doing the rest.
Yeah, like, if this doesn't scare you, I don't know what we or society has to do to prove to you that this is a very dangerous technology. And if you're just kind of blowing it off, I'm a kind of an asshole for saying it, but like, I honestly hope somebody does deep fake your mom on some porn. Like, if you don't care,
kind of an asshole, you are 100% an asshole.
If you don't care about this subject, I hope next time you're scrolling Pornhub, you see Betty right there on the front, right there on the front square.
Because the algorithm knew you wanted to see your mom, you dirty human being.
You know, because then maybe you'll care. Maybe then you'll care about the implications that this is going to have on our society, and not just American society, all of society. You know, like, it's, you're going to, this is, deep fakes are going to start wars in the near future. Like, people need to realize this shit. And if you having to see your mom take one, like, if that's what needs to be done to get people to give a shit, I don't care. I really don't care at this point.
I think you just gave somebody the, I guess, the moral justification to start deepfaking people's moms in the name of raising awareness for deepfakes.
Give me that site link and I am there. I am there. You'll get my clicks, sir. You were doing God's work.
All right. Well, either way, the deepfakes are great. We had that conversation. Hey, man, it was a while ago. I don't even know how long ago that we had the conversation with Adam Dodge.
Yeah, we had Adam Dodge on like a year ago, man.
Yeah, and the reason why, like, you know, Steve goes to this concept of porn. If you've ever looked into deepfakes and the actual use of it, yes, the celebrity videos are funny. Yes, the concerns on like somebody pretending to be, you know, Sleepy Joe and do a presidential address or whatever else is also concerning. But where 95% of deepfakes are actually having the impact is non-consensual porn, just stealing somebody off of Facebook, stealing other people, taking your ex-girlfriend and putting her into porn or whatever else. Like, that's where 95% of...
Yeah, I don't care how much you know that ain't your mom. That image is burned in your head.
Yeah.
You can't unsee that. You can't unsee that. So the damage is already done.
Yeah, no, but these specific ones, they are phenomenal. They're entertaining. Like, I don't look bad on these. Like, this guy, this is entertaining. Like, this is good. Like, go for it. I still think, like, I'm waiting for, you know, when the digital shorts on like Saturday Night Live and stuff like that are them deepfaking. They're using their voices and they just start doing, you know, deepfake digital skits and stuff like that.
Can you imagine what Phil Hartman could do with deepfake technology? Like, seriously.
Yeah.
The damage he could have done.
So I think it's cool technology. It's interesting on an entertainment front, and it's scary in a lack of regulation front. But if you haven't seen these, go to nerdcantina.com/community. We've shared some there in the group, or you can just go to the show notes here at nerdcantina.com/show135.
To me, like, just think about how much a lot of these third world countries rely on Facebook for their information. We've talked about it before.
Oh, yeah.
Now you put some deep fake of a warlord or a deep fake of a head of state or something saying some outrageous shit. It'll take 10 minutes for that information to spread around the world, in days, weeks, months to clean up the disinformation attack. And especially in a lot of these, you know, more poverty stricken countries where, man, I 100% foresee a massive amount of human lives being lost due to deepfakes in the future.
I could see it. I could see it potentially getting there. I think it's more like what you described than like people pretending that someone's going to deepfake the president of the United States, and that's going to get to a point that it's going to drive war. I don't think it ever gets there. I think it's going to be combated before it ever gets there. But like, yeah, somebody sharing videos of people who are radicalizing others on 4chan and stuff like that, like, yeah, that's not going to go through the same level of like verification filters to just spread information that way.
Well, think about if like Bin Laden had deepfake technology, he could hide in a cave and release. He could have all his lackeys release all kinds of videos from everywhere looking like it's him saying his words, but never having to ever come out of his cave or ever having to do anything because, you know, he's got that technology. I just the bad vastly outweighs the good. Granted, I'm all for the good. Like, man, some of these videos are funny. Yeah. Like, I'm not
still waiting for the next Sassy Justice.
Yeah, I'm not going to deny that. But the other side scares the living shit out of me, man.
Yeah, well, let's move over to the last topic here, and that's just a
Alexa dropping knowledge.
If she was going to join the show, she could have at least told us about this next topic here about Facebook battling Apple over some privacy. And this this comes from a couple months ago, the latest iOS update, where initially it was kind of in the background that you could go into the privacy settings and opt in to where it tells you what any app, anything you have installed on your phone, what it's tracking as far as the information. And we talked about a couple weeks ago where like the list from like Facebook Messenger and the list from Facebook is like pages long of the data that it collects, from like biometric data to, you know, location data and web browser traffic and all these things that it tracks across those apps compared to other messaging apps, other social media apps. Facebook by far is gathering the most data. And it's had a negative effect on Facebook for sure. And this latest update for iOS is taking it to where now it's something that you opt in to get that information, to where it is just, it's an automatic default that Apple is going to tell you all this privacy information about every single app you get, every update that that app has. It's going to tell you and remind you what those privacy concerns are, or what data tracking is taking place. So this is called the App Tracking Transparency Program within Apple. And Facebook, I think, is expecting a lot of backlash from it. So they've taken out like commercials and press releases to explain to people why it is in your best interest that they track everything.
Yeah, like it's 100% in your best interest. Ignore the fact that it makes us hundreds of millions. Yeah. Ignore that fact. Don't worry about it. But it's for sure in your best interest. Hundreds of millions of dollars in our pocket is only a side benefit for us. We care about you. The fuck out of here.
And, you know, it's one of those weird kind of situations where part of what they're saying is not wrong, right? Their Facebook's claim is that, like, specifically, like, they put in a blog post to go along with the commercial that, like, you know, everyone's newsfeed is unique and you want to see more and more content that is relevant to you, that you are interested in, that are from the creators that you like and stuff like that. So they use this data tracking to ensure that they are providing you what is, you know, best for your personal entertainment based off of your history. They're not wrong. Like, they do a pretty decent job of that. It's the same concept, like, Google tracks a lot of stuff. When I type something into Google, I want them to give me an answer that is relevant to me, not make me scour the entire internet to go find what I want. So there's benefits there.
But I want the honest.
Facebook gets the benefit. Yeah,
I want the honest account of what you feel is good for me, not like the what you feel is good for me filtered through the paywall of Google. So these are the people that pay Google that you might be interested. There's probably five other people that you want to be interested in, but they don't give us any money, so we're going to kick them to the back. Like, that's my fear with Google and all this shit too.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. I think this battle between Mark Zuckerberg and Tim Cook is going to continue. You know, even Tim Cook went to Twitter to talk about this latest app tracking transparency and about how it's going to be now an upfront feature, and it will ask for your permission first before. And then, like, the example that he put in his tweet was a screenshot of, you know, do you want to allow Facebook to track your activity across other companies and websites? Yes, you know, allow or do not allow.
No.
And, like, so that Tim Cook even uses his example of, like, hey, we're concerned about your privacy. We want to make sure that, like, and just as an example, we're showing you that we can block Facebook from tracking any of your data.
Well, and I think a lot of this stems from a lot of the public cases they had where police were trying to break into iPhones to catch people and Apple wouldn't unlock it. And I think the feedback they got from those events really kind of led them to this point of, like, man, people really do give a shit about their privacy. Like the public wasn't begging Apple to unlock a phone to catch a terrorist. They were like, nah, keep that fucking lock, son. Yeah. Like, you know, so once they heard that, they're like, damn, like, the American public doesn't even want us to do, you know, to do it to catch a terrorist. Then for sure they don't want, you know, all these apps having, like, so I don't know. I like the fact that they're listening to the wills of the people, even though that they could make and others can make a lot of money from it. I got a bunch of respect for that.
Yeah, me too. So let's see where it goes. Let's see if, like, Android adopts something similar. Going, you know, that's a big gap then here. If Apple's going to be privacy forward and Android isn't, I imagine they'll probably follow suit, especially if Apple does this without any real negative effect and just gets good publicity from it. But that's a week in news for us. So, as always, thanks for joining us here with episode 135 of the Nerd Cantina Show. Join us over. We said it a couple different times on some things that we have planned, and we'll be sharing and posting out in the nerdcantina.com/community, or find us over on Facebook and join the closed group over there. It's a good place to hang out with nerds and to vote for our picks of the March Madness tournament over at Take a Knee for Marvel vs. DC.
Yeah, I want to win that thing bad. Like, I really want to win that thing.
I think you're going to have to take it because my picks are largely foolish.
Mine aren't – so like, I didn't want to go with the typical, you know, picks. Like, I wanted to grab some strong characters, but not your – like, oh, I wanted Spider-Man, Superman, Wolverine, and, you know, like, John get Wick. Out of here. Yeah, get out of here, kid. And John Wick, yeah, of course. It's like, no. Like, no, I went deep for a few of mine. Like, it should be interesting to see who pulls out of our bracket.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Hopefully you join us over at the Nerd Cantina and you see as well. And I don't know, with all that said, thanks again. Talk to you next week, nerds.
See ya.